the only way that you're going to be successful in this environment is trying new things. If you just say, oh, that type of content works, it will eventually stop working. Either it will become tired, or the algorithm will change, or customers' tastes will change, or what have you. So it is continuously being like, what's new? What's next? What's different? Let's challenge our assumptions about what works and what doesn't work.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, and we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we are picking up the Meta Ads thread again, yes. And this is the first of our episodes, all going deep into what is and isn't working in Facebook and Instagram ads right now. So much has been changing over the last few years on those platforms. Many new strategies, many new approaches are now available, and we are going to help you get to grips with all of those over this episode and the following ones. We're kicking off with a chat with an actual retailer. Yes, one of those unusual episodes here on Keep Optimizing, when rather than talk to some expert who's supplier side, we're going backstage at an actual brand to see how they're doing it. And we are tackling one of those most difficult things to get right at the moment with Meta Ads. Just how do you make all that creative and make it work for you and develop it and all that kind of good stuff? So in this episode, we've got the brilliant Janice Thomas on talking about how they run their in-house creative team and how they get the most impact from their Meta Ads in general. Super crazy, insightful episode, as anyone who's heard Janice speak before will know or will expect. Particularly good on how to improve your creative, how to build that in-house creative team, and a whole load of other good stuff too. Do make sure you listen right to the end, because you don't want to miss Janice's quickfire insider tips. And yeah, I will also be sharing a couple of other ways we can help you improve your Meta Ads even more. So stay tuned to the end. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with e-commerce expert Janice Thomas. Janice is the managing director at Look Fabulous Forever, an innovative cosmetics and skincare brand designed to meet the needs of older women. They're a UK D2C brand selling globally to a customer base often ignored by the D2C world, which they're serving via a Magento site. Founded in 2013, Janice has been driving the growth strategy for over 4 years, and they're currently doing millions a year and working towards double-figure millions. Hello, Janice.
Hello, Chloe. Thank you for having me.
Always awesome to have you on the show, especially when you pitch such a cool subject that I know so many other brands and retailers are deliberating on and trying to do at the moment. So before we get into how you've gone about building an in-house creative team, what's the background of the Look Fabulous Forever relationship with Meta Ads? Did you used to use agencies? Do you still use agencies? How long have you been using it? Is it key to you? What's your relationship with Meta Ads?
Yeah, so when I joined Look Fabulous Forever, it was May 2020. It was a very difficult time when we first went into lockdown. And as a result, we had switched off all of our paid advertising, which for me, I've been for a very long time an advocate for zero-based budgeting. The idea of looking at your marketing and seeing what incrementality each of your media channels adds. So I had the unique experience of really actually being able to switch on ads again from a zero base to see what the impact was. So Meta ads were something that Look Fabulous Forever had been running for a long time. It's a very content social brand. But when I joined, the return on ad spend had really never been brilliant. It had kind of paid for itself, but that was just about it. And I came from a background, particularly at Birchbox, which had been a Facebook and Instagram first in terms of acquisition channel. So I came in and I was really, really confident that I could grow the business via Meta. And I had this unique opportunity to kind of start again from scratch, but not completely from scratch, because I've been running Meta ads very successfully for a long time. So I had a really clear view about what worked and what didn't work and where to start.
So we're kind of one of those, I know what should work. I've got a really solid hypothesis. I know how to deliver the hypothesis, but we're going to see what comes of that as we get going with this strategy. So there's a long history of Meta ads, and then you began it all again in 2020.
Yes.
And was that an in-house play or an external play at that time?
So we have the same setup now as when I joined, which is one that works really well for me. So we have an agency partner that I would describe as somebody we use for execution. So we will supply them with the copy, with the visuals, with the video, with the instructions of what we want to do, but they do the admin on the account. So we do 90% of it, but then the kind of last mile of it and the management and the time consuming stuff that we don't actually need to have expertise in-house, we have an agency who does that, and they also do our Google advertising for us and other things, and they are just a brilliant responsive partner.
Got you. So it's kind of like you're in charge of the bit that the brand can do best, which is the talking and connecting to your customers and target customers. And then the bit which someone would have to spend all their time trying to keep up to speed with what's changing on the platform, the nuances, the day-to-day checking and optimizing and all those kind of things, that whole piece you've outsourced to someone who does that day in, day out.
Not the optimizing piece. We do that in-house as well. So we manage all the budgets and things like that. So it's just the admin on the account that the agency handles from a Meta point of view. They do a much broader service for us for Google, but like for us, that how it ties into the business is really important to us. So we manage all of that. And I think particularly without, you know, because we are talking particularly about creative today, but just to touch on a little bit around the broader strategy, that anyone who runs Meta ads knows that whether it's Meta's own measurement or Google Analytics or a MMM or a third-party tool, like whatever you use, the data will be wrong. It will be in many ways underreported, in many ways overreported. So one of the things that we do in terms of managing our spend is that we have a very strict relationship to our overall revenue and our overall new customer revenue, because those two numbers are absolute fact. So we manage a lot of our spend very closely to those two metrics, which are absolute fact, as opposed to the millions of metrics within the business that will tell you all kinds of things that don't really impact the thing that really, really matters.
Got you. So the agency are doing the setup, of getting all that laborious bit, and then your team are watching the numbers, making the tweaks and the changes, creating the creative and all the rest of it. Okay, cool. I feel like there's maybe a whole other episode to be done at some point in the future on analytics and attribution, but not today, because today, like you say, we have to get into the creative team in-house. 2020, let's go a bit historic. 2020, Facebook ads, Meta ads were a very different beast to what they are today. What works was very, very different. I guess in many ways you were quite enlightened back in 2020, taking control of your own creative, because that was generally just handed over to the agency and left to do it. Now, creative is so critical in terms of attracting the customers in, but also in terms of what we can optimize, what we have power over, and what we need to feed the algorithm. So has that changed your plans, that shift in how Meta works? Has it changed how you operate, or have you just been lucky to have been doing it what's now turned out to be the right way all along?
It's definitely evolved, and I think kind of particularly the volume of new creative we produce every week is much, much higher than it was in the old days. In the old days, we would have a handful of new creatives a month, because the optimum way to run campaigns was with a small number of creatives that you were refreshing fairly regularly, but not all the time. And you would have these issues around creative fatigue that we don't tend to experience now, because we have such a fresh influx of new creative. But we have a huge amount of evergreen creative as well. So it's this balance that actually we, like, if you look at our account, we've got ads that have been running for probably a couple of years in some cases that just do really, really, really well and have continued to do really well. But we've got new stuff coming all the time. And I think as well as that volume, it's kind of shifted our perspective, because previously, if you were only going to have 5 or 6 creatives in an ad set, to put a new creative in there, you had to be pretty confident it was going to work. In this new world, where I'm typically, you know, I'll launch maybe 3 new creatives a week, maybe more, then you're like, do you know what? Let's put the black sheep in there, because who knows what will happen. And we've had so many instances, particularly since Advantage Plus shopping came in, where you can have up to 150 creatives in an ad set, the things that we have thrown in that you think that'll never work, but let's give it a go, that have been wildly successful in a way that you just could never have anticipated. It's really kind of shaken up my approach and the view of the creative team is, well, why not?
And we should say your business is more closely connected with understanding their customer than most in the retail space, because of all the community aspects and content aspects that you do. So it's worth pointing that out. Like, I would assume you are highly unlikely to get a random Hail Mary ad creative working, but even those kind of outliers give you surprises. Do you find, kind of building on that, that those lessons you're learning from what's happening to work in the Meta ads space, it's useful having the creative team in-house, because that organically gets fed into the other activity that you're doing without it being like a monthly update from the ads agency on what was happening and you have to try and retain that? Does it kind of more organically help shift the whole creative approach of the business?
Definitely. And I think that's something that we've implemented this year that has been enormously useful, is that we do a monthly debrief of all parts of the marketing team. So the CRM team, organic social, paid social, video, all of those things. We come together every month and we share what worked, what didn't work, what are we going to do differently. And actually, that the kind of cross-pollination of ideas that comes out of that has been really a game changer for us this year, to being like, oh, that worked on email, maybe we could try that as a social post. Oh, that video works really well, let's do that over here. And there are things that happen in the moment. Somebody will be like, oh, wow, that social post has gone nuts. Oh, right, well, let's do an email on it next week. But that formal structure of everyone sitting down every month and forcing them to look at what they've done and be critical about the, both what's worked and why and what hasn't and why is so valuable.
So what does your team look like? What is the team who are involved with the Meta ads for Look Fabulous Forever? What do they, who are they? What are their skills?
Yes, so we have essentially what we call our brand and content team. And that is, let's be really, really honest, that is a team of two people. So they are responsible for everything from website visuals to our organic social feeds to video production to events to managing our community to designing our paid ads to writing the content on our website, you know, kind of everything is two people. And for me, a big part of it is those two people have experience across our website and our social channels and our YouTube channel, as well as creating paid ads, that I don't think is helpful for the paid ads people to be different people than are doing the rest of your content.
Got you. So they are doing all the copy, graphics and video that any customer's going to come across, basically. And apart from when it comes to the customer service part, that you mentioned they're also heavily involved in the Facebook groups. Are they doing two-way comms with the community or just one-way comms?
So our community predominantly runs itself. You know, kind of our community will share pictures of their garden or their holiday or even like a really serious conversation about like dealing with an incident of domestic violence or something like that. So they chat amongst themselves. We do a structured every week. We have a particular discussion topic that we put out into the group and those kind of things. We will particularly ask our customers and particularly those in our community for pictures of themselves to create video content, all of those things, because we don't work in a kind of traditional influencer environment. That most of our customers are not comfortable sharing pictures and video of themselves on the open internet, but they're very willing to share content with us for us to put out through our own social channels. So our community is also kind of a almost like a mini UGC factory.
Got you. So your content team are doing written, graphics, video, interacting real time with your customers so they really understand the customer voice and they're requesting the UGC as and when they need it.
Yeah.
Wow, what a powerhouse. So let's switch gears a little bit. If you were advising someone who'd come to you and gone, you know, I'm sure someone will, multiple probably will after this podcast go, what do I do, Janice? How would you advise someone who's going, right, we know we need to up our creative game. We don't have the skills in-house. How would they go about replicating what you've done, building that intelligence, that ability, that capacity in-house?
Yeah, so the way that we do creative as businesses has changed enormously in the last few years. Like I am still of, you know, I still have, you know, kind of worked in an environment where you used to go through a pitch process to get a creative agency, then that creative agency would develop that creative and deliver them. And that whole process would be like a year long thing. And then at the end of it, you'd either get the same agency to do another campaign for you, or you would go out to pitch again. So, you know, kind of that used to be this really, really long cycle. And you would have, particularly for imagery, you would have someone who had like trained properly as a designer, and you would have someone from a video point of view probably gone to film school, you know, kind of it was a very specific skill set. And that has shifted entirely, that most of us are content creators in some way, shape or form. So most people have some kind of content creation skills. You couple that with the fact that particularly in a Meta environment. Something that looks really polished looks alien in your feed. That actually something that looks like the sort of things that your friends are posting is going to feel much more natural in your feed. So the whole kind of skill set of the person that you would hire is completely different. Like nowadays, I would hire someone who was a great content creator in their own right. Now, that doesn't mean they have to have a million followers. You're not looking for somebody to hire them as an influencer. You're interested in, do they have an eye? Do they, you know, can they write articulately? More than anything else, the best people I have hired in this space are keen to learn and keen to hone and develop their skills, rather than necessarily you would have previously hired, like, oh no, I want a senior designer who's super experienced and kind of all of those things. You almost want someone not completely inexperienced, but is open to learning, well, what works for this brand and your customer, rather than coming in and being like, oh, I have the answers and I want to do that. So when we're hiring, typically we're really, really open with the brief that we're not like, oh, you have to have X, Y, Z qualifications or experience. We'll be like, why do you want to do this role? And then as part of the interview process, we'll be like, write me a content page, take me some pictures, shoot me a video. And, you know, that's how you tell whether you've got the right person or not.
Yeah, I guess that, well, especially when you're looking for someone who can write, do graphics and do video, you've got to test that in the interview phase, haven't you? To see, you know, here's the sort of thing we'd be after. Background branding on the company, what can you do for me? Otherwise you're going in very blind. You know, day one, write me some, oh my gosh, your grammar is appalling.
But then I don't mind that. It's like if they're keen to learn, that's the thing that actually I'm, particularly when it comes to copy, we really specific about like what we're looking for from copy and all of those things. And we can teach you that. You're just like, actually, can you write in a relatively articulate way? And, you know, now with, you know, spell check and grammar check and, you know, ChatGPT, even as a refining tool, is incredibly valuable. Should you get it to write your copy from scratch? No, but it's a really good starting point. And some people are better at refining copy than writing it from scratch. So yeah, it's all about that attitude and that willingness to learn.
And once you've, I'm trying to think in my head, if I was back brand side, which to be fair was about 20 years ago, but if I was that, what would I want to ask of you? And I think the other key thing I'd want to understand is the sign-off loops, because you mentioned about how, what, 5 years ago, we'd have done a big pitch to a creative agency and then that would have come back. And, you know, it would have been very complicated, very long-winded. Now you're creating three minimum sets of content a week, plus all the stuff for the website and everything else. You know, when Twitter first came along, we used to joke, you're not going to sign off every tweet. So how are you going to manage this? So how do you manage the in-house sign-off process? Which really, I mean, how do you make sure that what goes live is right?
Ironically, it starts at completely the other side of the process. It's about the brief and the boundaries that you set at the beginning of the process. That I would say, if somebody has produced something at the end of the process that is not right and not usable, that's because I haven't given them the right brief or the right boundaries in the first place. Yeah, sure, sometimes people be like, oh yeah, I forgot we don't use yellow or whatever it is, you know, kind of, yeah, people, you know, make mistakes from time to time. But actually, the vast majority of it was you weren't clear enough about what you wanted, what you were trying to achieve, and all of those things. And I think I have worked with creative people for many, many years. And the most crucial thing is that you need to be really clear about what you want. And when you see something that isn't what you want, you need to be clear about why it's wrong, not what you think should be changed. Because that there's a reason why you are not the creative, that you giving them what you perceive as the answer will very rarely get the best creative solution. You saying, I'm concerned that people might not know what the brand is when they've watched this video, is going to be much more helpful as feedback as, can you make the logo bigger?
Yes. And so great briefing, obviously key. Do you then have internal sign-off on everything before it goes to the Meta Ads agency to be set up?
Yes. Because my team are doing a million different things and they're doing organic and all of those things, sometimes it's not quite, they just haven't quite got the cadence right. But again, it's giving feedback and being like, why is this not right? Rather than, you know, teach a man to fish, you know, that you want to be like, this is why this isn't right, then they're less likely to do the same thing again than if you just say, oh, can you change X?
I suppose with that constant weekly delivery of new content, it doesn't matter too much if one out of three pieces has to wait till next week and next week ends up being a four-piece week, because there's just this constant reimagination, I suppose, of what's going on. Anything we've missed, Janice, that the audience really ought to know about? Or have we covered all the key points on running a successful in-house creative team?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is just experimentation is absolutely crucial. If you just say, oh, that type of content works, it will eventually stop working. Either it will become tired, or the algorithm will change, or customers' tastes will change, or what have you. So it is continuously being like, what's new? What's next? What's different? Let's challenge our assumptions about what works and what doesn't work. The only way that you're going to be successful in this environment is trying new things. And I think particularly in an ASC world, there is a concept that a lot of people call creative as targeting. So the idea is that because the algorithm is given a lot more freedom, it means that an individual creative can potentially target a very different audience than another similar creative. So for example, because all of our ads feature women in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, it means that those images are more likely to resonate with women in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. So actually featuring a more diverse portfolio of customers, if you look at what Snag Tights does with size diversity and how they use like big, bright, bold colors, it really makes their stuff stand out on their feed. So instead of being like, oh, there's one creative execution, it's like, no, let's try dozens of different creative executions. And for us, we've got specific products that are designed for a specific use case for an older woman. So for example, our brow product is designed because our core demographic of women in their 70s overplucked their eyebrows in their youth. So they don't really have much in the way of eyebrows. So our brow product is like a tiny little paintbrush where you can paint in individual brow hairs. But if you've got alopecia, or if you've had chemotherapy and lost your eyebrows, you might find our product useful. But in the old days, we wouldn't have bothered trying to target that audience. Whereas actually having a creative that really shows in depth, how do you create eyebrows from scratch when you don't have them, can then potentially resonate with a much wider audience than it would have in the old days. So that kind of diversity of creative, being able to talk to a very specific customer in a different way, can really open up your potential market. And so that experimentation is really, really crucial.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Janice. Okay, it's been great picking your brains about building an in-house creative team for Meta Ads. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Janice's insider tips on Meta Ads and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, Janice, so far we've gone deep into, like super deep, love all the advice you've been giving us, into building an in-house creative team for Meta Ads. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of Meta Ads. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with Meta Ads, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Janice, are you ready for the insider tips?
I am.
Okay then, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I think the first thing is to really, really understand, why is your brand different? Why should people care about you? How do you want people to feel? All of those things, then you're going to be much more successful than if you start with a design brief. Think about, like, what do I want people to know about my brand? How do I want them to feel? What do I want them to take away? That's how you set yourself up for success. And I think you test that stuff through organic first, and you start to learn, oh, this is what resonates with people. And then you move that into paid. I think you don't want to go from cold to paid.
Nice. Love that. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
I think it is that idea that I touched on, that actually bringing together all aspects of your marketing team and getting them to report out what worked, what didn't, what are you going to do differently? Like, particularly talking to my creative team this year, they said, we always did that informally and kind of been like, oh, we should do more of this and less of that. But actually, by writing it down and saying, we're not going to do this anymore and we're going to do more X, Y, and Z, has actually led to them making sure that that then happened. And our engagement on our organic posts has gone up exponentially this year because our creative team have been so disciplined about saying, right, we're going to do more of this and less of that in a formal way and not just that kind of organic, oh yeah, we should do that.
Oh, I love that. Because of course, there are those times when things are just really busy and it's a good idea and it doesn't get shared. Whereas if you've got, I love that idea. I'm going to have to adopt that one myself. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yes, that is, you need to be using social media. And as part of that, you need to be critiquing it. So there's no good being just like, oh, I love that ad. It's like, well, you know, what is it about it that made it stand out to you? And also, what's the lesson from that? Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, I love Innocent Drinks' tone of voice. It's like, yes, but that's not right for everyone. But saying, actually, I really like the way that they talk in a human way, like normal people would actually have a conversation. That element, pretty much any brand could take on board. So it's really making yourself think, why is that good? What do I like about it? And what can I learn from it? and then using that as your learning tool. Like, there's no point going off in some abstract, you know, course or something like that. It's like, no, get out on your own social media feed and really critique it.
I love that. Yeah, go deep. What is that kernel? Love it. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
The one thing that you can guarantee is that things will change. The algorithm will change, customer tastes will change, all of those things. So it really, that experimentation is absolutely crucial to stay ahead of these changes, that the brands that I know have come unstuck when these changes have happened have been the ones who've got a very specific path and continue on that. The ones that have been more successful are the ones who are always saying, let's try something new. There's the whole thing with this is there is no such thing as perfect or done. There is only doing better and learning more every day.
Words for success in 2025 there. Janice, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let listeners know where they can find more about you and your business?
Of course. So we're lookfabulousforever.com. And if you have a older woman in your life, I would love it if you told her about us.
Simple as that, everybody. Janice, thank you so much for coming on the Keep Optimizing podcast and sharing so much with the audience. They and me really do appreciate it. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Chloe.
So if improving your Meta Ads performance is on the list for 2025, which, I mean, if it's not, why are you listening to this? I mean, really, then getting that creative rocking and rolling is clearly essential, and love the approach that Janice was talking about there, how they've made it work for them. I think she made the idea of bringing that whole creative piece in-house and making it work super well. She made that feel so straightforward and so achievable. And that's because it is. It really is. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct to episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it and want to keep on learning about Meta Ads right now, then pick up our Meta Ads thread. Scroll back up your feed a little way, because we haven't covered this since last year, and find any of the episodes that begin with Facebook ads or Meta Ads. We're rebranding it at the moment, the thread, because last time we covered so many different angles and lots in the creative space the last time we picked this up. So go and have a tune into those. You can also find our full list of Meta Ads episodes via the short link keepopt.com/meta on the website if you want to go and have a look through them there. And please do tell your fellow marketers that we're covering Meta Ads and about the Keep Optimizing podcast, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta, and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.